Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Real Raw Radio. WHPT, Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete. And 107.3 WXGL HD2, St. Pete. Live from the WeatherTight Windows Studio. Unique opinions, compelling conversation, and the best in afternoon entertainment. Now, the conversation continues. It's time for It's Okay, It's Not Okay. Now, on Drew Garabo Live with John Senning.
Cellophane, front pocket of my blue jeans, a little fire and a little green. Enough to make me king on a Friday night.
Hell yeah.
In a trailer off a dry pond road.
Corey Smith.
Where me and the boys
in town Friday night. We're going to honky tonk it up.
And hide out.
Cowboys in Largo.
It was just a weekend thing.
We have been taking a deep dive into the epidemic, pandemic, all of the above of squatters and squatters' rights. The convo all kind of ramped up over the situation playing out up in New York, where a set of vigilantes showed up at a Queens home to get the squatters out. That was after the actual owner of the $1.2 million home was arrested for trying to do the same exact thing. We've been taking tons of calls. I've got a couple updates, one being a brand new bill that just passed, House Bill 621, permits police in the state of Florida to remove squatters without a lease authorized by a property owner, and also adds criminal penalties. So as we talk about this, it seems like maybe there's movement in the right direction here in the state of Florida. But is it cool or not cool / okay or not okay to take matters into your own hands with a little bit of vigilante justice to get squatters out of your home?
This is one of those things where it doesn't even seem like it could really happen. Like, until it happens to you or someone you know, or you hear about it on a radio show, you think, there's no way someone can legally squat and take over your property.
Almost like we're missing something. Like,
right.
Like you hear all these stories and you just think to yourself, well, what am I missing? Like, what is really going on here? And from trying to understand why squatters have rights, and if anybody would like to correct me, I'd love that, is that it sounds like squatters have rights just to stop the scenarios of homeowners forcefully removing people from their property, and it puts things in the hands of the court. It becomes a civil situation rather than being a criminal situation, which then they would just be trespassing.
Yeah. Squatting, I always thought, like, if there's a vacant building, people move in and they stay in there until the cops find them. I never thought in a million years that someone could take over your home. And it turns out it's a thing. 727-579-1025. Drew Garabo Live with John Senning. Who are you?
Brent.
Hi, Brent. What's up?
Two things. I got a friend that lives in the Northeast, and basically it was a group of con artists. And what they did is, he has a long-term rental. They went and found it, created a fake lease online, went in and squatted, and then basically said, hey, if you want us to go, we'll go, or, you know, give us $50,000, or it's going to tie you up for 2 years in court.
Jeez.
So it was a big scam, but the idiots ended up texting him and putting it in writing, so he was able to deal with it without having to pay too much.
Man.
So he still had to get a lawyer and go through it, but that was kind of the idea, was they were just going to extort him and just say, hey, it's gonna cost you more in legal fees. You could just pay us to go away.
So if they hadn't been so dumb as to, like, admit to it in text messages, that might have been a lot more difficult for your buddy.
Exactly. So then the thing I was thinking about in Florida is, how does this reconcile with Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground?
I said the same thing to Drew earlier in the office.
Verbatim.
Where I would guess, without knowing for certain, like, you've got to be in your castle. Like, right. If you're in your home and they show up there, you can probably shoot them. But if you're not there and then they're there and then – I don't know.
Can they shoot you? Like, can they legally shoot you if you're trying to gain access to your own home if they're in it? Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, did you watch the video from New York?
Yes, yes.
When she changes the lock and the guy comes trying to barge in, I feel like in Florida, you're going to get a clean shoot on that.
Absolutely.
You would.
Yeah, because I could feel like my life is in danger.
Well, even then, I mean, with the castle doctrine, I know it's a little different than stand your ground, but essentially, if you're entering my home, I don't think you even have to prove as much that you feared for your life.
That's true. You're just entering my home.
Yeah.
I don't want you there. Drew Gobble Live with John Senning. Who are you? Hello?
Hello, it's Paul.
Hi, Paul. What's up?
Hey, man, I can't even agree more with anything everybody's saying. It just that just doesn't seem right. I mean, what's to stop me and you and John all from taking out big old loans for big houses? We got $2 million houses each. I squat on your house. You squat on John's house. John squats on my house. We'll wait the time out. Now we all own it. We screwed the banks.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing is I also think there is a, you know, somebody that just called said something about, you know, them being con men. And I think, you know, we kind of and those things happen as well. The guy from, I think, Pasco County talked about what sounds as if some homeless people have just set up a shanty town. But you've got to imagine there are savvy people who understand real estate law and they have a long term goal of owning the house. If you knew how to fight the fight. In your direction in court, it's probably well within the realm of possibility that you could end up owning the house that you're squatting in.
Good God. Now, I understand looking out for tenants who are being manipulated or abused or mistreated by their property owners. Totally get that, and that should definitely be a thing. But I feel like there should be aggressive legislation passed to protect legal homeowners from these scumbag squatters who are trying to illegally gain access to their homes.
The thing I really can't figure out is I think you have to, like, have had some sort of time that you've been there. Like, if you're not home tonight or you're not home right now and some homeless people or whoever go into your house, kick their feet up, change the locks – like, I don't necessarily know that automatically they have squatters' rights, but it does sound way closer than you think. While squatting can be a form of trespassing, the two are viewed differently in the eyes of the law. Trespassing is handled by the criminal courts, while squatters' rights are handled by civil courts. If an individual occupies on the property, they will be treated as a squatter and not a trespasser. What makes someone occupy?
Yeah, and what's the difference between occupying and breaking in? Like, they should both be considered trespassing. If you don't have a legal document that designates that you are the owner or renter of that property, in my opinion, you're a trespasser. 727-579-1025. Drew Gobble Live with John Senning. Who might you be?
This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, you think it's cool or not cool to take the law into your own hands when it comes to squatters?
Well, it's cool. And you just kind of touched on what my point was going to be, is I'm not a law expert by any means, but how do they get in? Isn't that breaking and entering? Or
that's a good question. Like, what if, I mean, you'd have to prove that they broke and entered? Like, I don't understand, like...
Well, they're in your house. They had to get in there somehow.
That's why they had to break in.
Yeah.
From what I understand, there needs to be some sort of time period. Like, if this is all happening in real time, like, if you... Again, use that situation. Like, if Drew goes home today and there's people in his house.
Oh, God.
Like, I think that those people are trespassing. They've broken into your house.
Okay.
If you're gone for a couple weeks, if you're gone for a month, multiple months, and these people have been able to occupy your home for a period of time, which I can't seem to nail down the exact, you know, time frame, I think then they have squatters' rights.
Well, it's still breaking and entering, right?
At some point, you would think.
Yeah, you shouldn't even have to prove that they broke into your house, because otherwise you didn't let them in. You weren't there to let them in. So they illegally gained access to your home, right? I mean, I would think.
So this says,
which is crazy because this, it must be vastly different in other states, especially in New York, where we're talking about, they can lay claim to a property, usually abandoned, foreclosed, or otherwise unoccupied, after living in it for a continuous period of time.
Okay. What about, and we're not hearing any of the real life Pacific Heights situations where, like, you rent a room to someone and then they just, like, hide up in there and stop paying rent?
Well, you know what's mentioned, and I'm pretty much just scrolling through all these different law blogs and stuff, but you want to know where it says it gets super tricky is, you, let's say you have somebody in your house that's living with you, they're your girlfriend or whatever, and then you they've been there for a period of time. It's not that simple per the law for you to just go, hey, this person's been living with me, and I want them out now. Like, they are way covered for probably as long as it's going to take you to fight it out in the court system.
Dude, this is hitting too close to home. Thank God that we did not go through with that situation that Zan wanted.
Oh, God, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Geez, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, she's definitely somebody who would have done something like that.
Absolutely. You dodged a bullet there.
And, like, imagine calling the cops. I remember a situation where this girl lived with me. I was living in Orlando. She lived in Indy Atlantic, which was like 90 minutes away outside Melbourne. And she was like, she got a job in Orlando, and she said, can I stay with you during the week? And I'm like, I'm not looking to live with anybody, but okay. So then we broke up, and she wouldn't leave my house. Like, we broke up, and she's like, I'm not leaving. It's too convenient for me. And legally, I don't know what. And finally, eventually, she moved. But, man, she was messing with me so bad, smoking in the house.
Oh.
Dude, it was awful. Awful. We're friends now. Drew Global Live with John Senning.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
Yeah, just calling in regards to everybody, you know, and the opinion. It's staggering. We had people on a property in a trailer on a farm out in the country. And a family member had ages ago let them live there for a nominal amount. That family member died.
Oh.
We luckily got them to sign a lease. And we told them it was under the guise of insurance for liability.
Right.
And then, of course, they quit paying on the lease. So I set the eviction process in motion. Got a call from an attorney. The attorney said, look, we're going to take it to court. And I said, well, do you want to explain to them that they don't have squatter's rights because they signed a lease, they didn't fulfill that lease,
right,
and they're delinquent on that lease? And he goes, oh, really? And I said, yeah, they didn't tell you that, did they? And he said, no. And I said, well, do you want to explain that to them so we don't have to go to court? Just tell them they need to move. And he goes, yeah, okay. 2 days before the deadline of, hey, get out, I get a letter from the court in South Carolina, and this is right during the last hurricane that I need to be up there for a court date. Literally had to drive up there during the hurricane, meet them in court at 10 o'clock that morning. By 11, the judge said, sorry about your luck, you got to go, and then drive back through the hurricane. And they were like, oh, we're sorry we had to drag you up here. No, you're not. You could have just packed up and moved. But it took us it took me a year and a half with a signed lease that they were negligent on, all of the bank slips, all of their stuff, all of the communications, printed out, gave it to the judge, and she went, yeah, sorry about your luck, get out.
And
but still a year and a half.
And that was out of the goodness of someone's heart that they let someone live in a trailer on your farm property, and that's how you were repaid for kindness, is someone squatting in there.
Well, it was one of those things. It's like, hey, look, if you guys, and they trashed it, there was something like 40 yards of garbage behind the trailer that they just threw garbage bags out the back door. I think our last quote, our lowest quote to get that whole place cleaned up was $6,800.
Jumping Jesus on a pogo stick, man.
You know, and obviously not every one of these situations is created equally, but the one thing we haven't really touched on is what scum most, if not all, of these people in these situations where it's kind of a hostile takeover. Like, how do you in good conscience lay your head down in somebody else's home every night knowing that you've just kind of found a loophole in the system to steal somebody's house?
And taking it a step further, you then trash the hell out of the place. You don't even take care of it. Like, stealing someone else's house and then destroying their property.
So it's crazy reading through all of these different there are five distinct legal requirements a squatter must first meet before filing a legal claim to a property. And the amount of BS that's in here is crazy, because what they usually do is they state that they didn't know, like if they find a house that nobody was in, and let's say that nobody was in it for a week or 2 weeks,
yeah,
they can then claim in court that they didn't know anybody was living there. And that's called the open and notorious clause, where you pretty much just say they're not trying to hide the fact that they live there, but they didn't know that someone else owned and or lived in the property, or you know, at the property.
I can't believe that this is so rampant, but we've literally, as soon as someone hangs up, someone else calls about it.
And what's funny, it's not funny, but what's funny is so if this is to stop drama, like that seems to be the reason that the laws exist in the first place. Like if it all goes away and we say squatters have no rights, like are there just gonna be dead people inside people's homes every day? I don't feel like that's the case.
No.
It sounds like that work would probably more than likely fall on the police departments, who then have to come and kick people out of these houses.
727-579-1025. Drew Graba live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, I'm Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, what's up?
I can't go into super detail on it, but my wife works at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And about not even a month or two ago, that there was people, a guy and his wife, that lived there and became squatters. And they called the police to try to remove them, but the police were saying, no, we can't. It's against the law to remove them. We can't remove them. And they ended up staying there for about 3 or 4 months, and they racked up over $35,000 worth of, the hotel stay and you know, obviously there's, like, cable and stuff included, whatever. But, over $35,000. And now they use it on a training, as a training video, as to what not to do and what to do and this and that. It's crazy.
Imagine you have a bunch of properties around town. Like, imagine you're a property owner, right? And you've built yourself a nice little nest egg and fortune, and one of your properties is vacant for a while, and then you just happen to do a drop-by and you got squatters in there. It's got to be so hard to get them out.
Well, it's obviously rampant, but in a way, it's kind of surprising it's not more rampant. In that, especially right now with the way the Florida market is, I just from driving around and seeing, you know, not giving anybody ideas, properties are definitely sitting longer than they were, you know, through COVID. There was that period of time during COVID where if a house went on sale in the state of Florida, it was being sold within a couple days. So, I mean, if you're out there driving around or walking around as a squatter and you know that you've seen a house sitting there unoccupied for 2 or 3 months, you know, what's stopping these people from just saying, hey, that's my house now?
Drew Grubb live with John Senning. Who are you?
My name's Andy.
Hey, Andy, what's up? You think it's okay or not okay for you to take the law into your own hands and enact vigilante justice against squatters?
You should be.
Thank you. Should be able to, is what he was going to say.
That's big squatter. Shut him down.
Drew Gobble live with John Senning. Who are you?
My name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. What's up?
So in 2014, I was in the reserves, and I deployed to Afghanistan. When I came back, we found out that we had squatters in my house. And we called the cops. We tried to do everything we could to get them out. Yeah. And one time, a deputy told us, he's like, look, if we show up and they vacated the home and you've reoccupied the home, there's nothing we can do about it. So what me and 10 of my buddies that I deployed with, what we did is we sat there and waited for them to go to work, leave the house, and then we bum-rushed the house, took all their stuff out, moved my stuff in, had a locksmith come, changed the locks, and then when the cops showed up, when the squatters called the cops on me, when the cops showed up, said, hey, he's the legal owner of the home. Yeah. He has possession of the home. There's nothing we can do for you.
Good.
Was there any situation where were these just complete randos who got into that house, or had you been renting the house? Like, how did they get into the house?
I boarded up. I put shutters up because I knew I was going to be gone for like 15 months. So I put shutters up on the house.
Yeah.
Boarded and closed the house up. And then when I came back, flew into Tampa, drove back home, came back home, and all of a sudden just these random people are just living in my house.
What county was this in, if you don't mind me asking?
Lee County. I live in Fort Myers.
Damn, that is insane. Do you know, did they tell you or did it matter how long they had been in there?
The judge had said that because they had utility bills and they had occupied the house, we had to go through all this extra stuff to prove that they had no legal standing to be in the house. And then we had to evict them. And then that's when the judge and the lawyer kind of told us, hey, look, they move their stuff out and you reoccupy the dwelling.
Yeah.
And you can show that you're occupying the dwelling and you're the legal owner, there's nothing we can do. So that's when my buddies that I deployed with, we came up with that plan. Hey, we're just going to go in there, and in a matter of a couple hours, we'll get them out.
Right on,
dude,
man.
That is crazy. You almost wonder when it comes to people that are the victims of squatters, like who's in that category most? Is it home flippers? Is it people that have rental properties? Is it snowbirds? Or the thing that pisses me off the most now, because this article in front of me references same exact thing, a dude that went to Afghanistan from Pasco County and came back. I mean, to think that the men and women that fight for our country are coming back to have their homes taken over and it not be a given that they get their homes back, I'd hate to know how often that's actually happening.
That's worse than Jody's. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's imagine you come home and, you know, the man's squatting, it, you know, in your house and on your, you know, woman's face.
Oh, you got a squatter, Jody. Hang tight. Thank you very much for your calls. Phenomenal. Sorry that you went through this, people, but great calls.
Also, very eye-opening that it's
incredible.
I think you see it and it's just like, yeah, that's a thing that happens, I guess. But clearly it happens a lot more. And if you're a squatter, you suck.
When we come back, Eric Clapton and Neil Young were arrested 56 years ago today.
Whoa.
I had no idea that even happened. It's probably the second worst thing that happened to Eric Clapton today in history.
That also happened this day in history?
It was not a great day for Eric.
Oh, wait. This day in history, that also happened to him?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This day is cursed for Eric
Clapton. Yeah, Eric Clapton and March 20 do not get along.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
You probably know the worst thing that happened to him, but the second worst thing to happen to Eric Clapton is something that shouldn't happen to any American. When you hear why he and Neil Young were arrested together, you'll go, thank God I listened to Drew Garabo Live with John Senning at 5:40 in the p.m., which is what time it'll be when we get back.
If you like paying high electric bills, this message is not for you. If you hate your increasing electric bill, then crank up the knob and listen here, because my friends at Solar Bear can help you eliminate your electric bill right now with no money out of pocket and no payments for 12 months. Keep those hard-earned dollars in your pocket. I could list the awards that these guys have, but you know what? The show's wrapping up, so we don't have enough time. All you need to know is that they have installed over 8,000 solar systems in Florida and have more 5-star reviews than any solar contractor in the state. Stop paying insane electric bills and go solar with confidence. Go solar with Solar Bear at solarbear.com.
You're listening to Drew Garabo Live with John Senning on 102.5 The Bone. Now, a Bone traffic update from the Farrah & Farrah Personal Injury Attorneys Traffic Center.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Southbound Dale Mabry approaching Northdale Boulevard. A crash that'll back up traffic a bit to North Green Avenue, Bush Boulevard. A crash there that's affecting both eastbound and westbound traffic near 275. Eastbound traffic back to North Boulevard. Westbound traffic to 18th Street. Hillsborough Avenue eastbound and westbound, and Dr. King eastbound and westbound near 275, both still clogged a bit. Howard Franklin northbound delayed over 10 minutes approaching Tampa. The Courtney Campbell headed toward Tampa also delayed over 10 minutes. With a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, you can receive an all-cash offer and move when you're ready. No showings, no open houses, no stress.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.